The left proving it really doesn't care if America, in fact, is last. The Biden administration announcing plans to rejoin the United Nations Human Rights Council, despite the United Nations Human Rights Council having absolutely nothing to do with human rights. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Trish Regan Show. I'm Trish. And wow, this is yet again proof that the Biden administration is more interested in approval from the rest of the world than in actually trying to offer up any kind of leadership. You know, you just can't make this one up. The guardians, the so-called guardians of human rights in the world are currently China, Russia, Cuba, Venezuela, and, well, soon enough, joining the club, the United States of America. We're about to join them. You know, the Trump administration rightly chose to leave the so-called United Nations Human Rights Council due to the hypocrisy, the utter hypocrisy of the countries that are out there running it. While the Biden administration is on a path to sanction these guys, to sanction the council once again. There was news on Monday that President Biden is ordering the U.S. to re-engage, quote, immediately and robustly, that's per the State Department, with the UN Human Rights Council. This is a mistake. This council has no credibility whatsoever. After all, when major human rights abusers like China and Cuba are leading your pack, you might want to question, you might just want to question, right? Whether your values are really aligned. You know who did question this? Nikki Haley, a one-time ambassador to the UN who has said that the US's commitment to human rights, and I quote, does not allow us to remain a part of a hypocritical and self-serving organization that makes a mockery of human rights. She's right on that. The U.S. needs to stand up for our values. Countries like China and Cuba and others, they engage in these massive human rights violations. They effectively insult and they mock actual human rights. So instead of joining the council, the United States, who should lead the way in all this, would be better served by establishing our own Human Rights Council. And we could invite member states that actually abide by real human rights policies. Imagine that. We would set forth those human rights policies, and those that actually abided by them could join. And then it would actually mean something. You know, former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, he got it right when he described the UN's commission as a, quote, bully pulpit for human rights violators. He referred to the council as a haven for dictators and for democracies that indulge them. You know, though the US is only going to engage, apparently, to begin with, in observer status, right? That's the initial status that we'll take. The Biden administration says it's going to seek one of the three member seats later this year, according to a report out of the Associated Press. So is this just an example of if you can't beat them, you join them? Is that really what we're doing now? Listen, we're better than that. And we should be setting an example for the rest of the world, the integrity of the United States, and all that we stand for on human rights is very much at stake. This is not the time to submit to the likes of dictators and human rights violators. Not at all. Make sure you do me this favor right now. Go and subscribe to this channel. Give it a like. Follow me on Facebook. Sign up for my emails and my daily free podcast. You can subscribe to it at trishintel.com. I'll tell you, truth matters. And it's up to us right now to make sure that that truth is heard. Coming up, Joe Biden talks a good game on uniting the country, but if he really believed in any kind of unity, then why are we about to witness another impeachment trial? That's next. Here we go. The 45th president of the United States is about to stand trial again for impeachment. We have news that the Senate leaders have agreed to impeachment trial rules. The Senate will officially vote on those rules Tuesday, kicking off a four-hour debate on the constitutionality of this proceeding, followed by a vote. Now, here's what I can tell you. Each side is going to have up to 16 hours to present their cases. over 2 days. The House managers will begin their presentation at noon on Wednesday. Then Donald Trump's lawyers will have 2 days to give their presentations. Then there will be questions. It'll be just like last time. Amazing that I have to say that, right? Just like last time. He's the only president in history. He has that distinction anyway, of getting impeached twice. You know, here's the problem with the entire thing. It is all designed to gin up additional support for the left and discord on the right. You're seeing a split in the Republican Party, and that is all by design. This is designed to divide right now, and not just those on the right, but to cement these divisions between the left and the right. This is designed to further advance the political standing of Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer. You know, after all, if Joe Biden, who is head of the Democrat Party, if he really believed in actual unity, then you know what? We wouldn't be seeing something like this right now, now would we? We wouldn't be seeing this prospect for such tremendous division that's going to grip the country, right? This is going to be all that anybody's talking about. Is this designed to be a distraction? You know, like, you know, don't look over here at the stimulus bill that we're trying to push through. Just this shiny object over here, which is the impeachment trial. I mean, come on. Remember when we listened to Joe Biden go on and on and on about unity? You know, like I said from the start, that was all talk. I'll believe it. I'm happy to believe it when I see it. But you know what? We're not going to see it. Because as I predicted, this is all about politics. This is all about division. This is political theater. And it's an exercise that is designed to serve no purpose other than to advance the left's agenda. The left's agenda, which frankly is an agenda that could put us in a whole lot of trouble, economically speaking. And also culturally speaking. Coming up next, Nikki Haley says the left is hurting women with all this transgender policy. I'll explain next. Nikki Haley taking on the left in a pretty brave, outspoken way, writing in the National Review that women are the ones losing out in this new politically correct environment. President Biden is the latest man to do the rigging, she says, which is strange, coming from someone who is billed as a defender of women. She writes, in one of his first acts as president, he signed an executive order paving the way for a federal mandate that all schools receiving federal funding let biological men play on women's sports teams. The order was framed as a matter of transgender rights, but really, it was an attack on women's rights. Nikki Haley points out that many generations of women have fought pretty darn hard to ensure that their daughters and their granddaughters have a shot at a level playing field, certainly in the sports arena, because, quote, girls deserve the same chance as boys to play sports. Well, she's right on that. You know, think about it. If you're the girl that doesn't get that opportunity, right? And there have been situations like that in this country where girls have lost out on their chance to get a scholarship and they've lost their chance at winning because they're up against someone that, you know, just biologically is predisposed to do better than them. And I, you know, that opens a whole other can of worms, right? Because you're not even supposed to say that, but sorry guys, that's just the way it is, right? I mean, you know, I think that they've proven this one out. And it's much more challenging for an actual female to succeed athletically than a man that has transitioned into being a female. And so it's over and over again. I mean, I agree with her in that you have to be very careful that you don't, you know, in the name of this greater good and this political correctness, shortchange young women. Right? Because there's always this effort. They think that they're doing the right thing. But I get back to the law of unintended consequences, which is very much part of life. It's part of economics. And it's part of these policies, too. You think that you're helping the greater good in society, but in fact, you're disenfranchising half the population. So somebody's actually going to stick up for those girls. I commend her for doing so. Coming up, everyone. Wow. You know, $15 an hour minimum wage. That is what Joe Biden wants. But even the CBO knows, the Congressional Budget Office knows, it's actually going to hurt our jobs in this country. It will hurt our economy. And for once, I'd like somebody to actually think about our economy. But oh, gosh darn it, when somebody actually does, like a liberal economist that actually worked as Treasury Secretary for Clinton and was the head of the National Council of Economic Advisors for Obama, when he actually calls it out, what do? They go crazy on him, right? You're not allowed to say these things, but I'm going to keep on saying them. This whole plan is just plain dumb. We will lose jobs. Our economy will shrink. And you know what? The rich will keep on getting richer thanks to the inflation that we're going to see in the stock market. Don't forget to go to my website, trishintel.com, to sign up for more. Sign up for my free daily podcast. Make sure you download it, you subscribe to it, because truth matters. I'll be right back. This whole $15 minimum wage thing may not be all it's cracked up to be. Well, I could have told you that. But apparently, it takes a little reality check for the left to figure this one out. Let me share with you a report from the CBO, the Congressional Budget Office, which finds that the president's proposal would actually boost joblessness. It would increase unemployment. Jobless roles would grow by 1.4 million by 2025. Wow. And it would increase budget deficits by $54 billion over the next 10 years. Again, money we don't have, but nobody seems to quite realize that, other than maybe Larry Summers, former Treasury Secretary for Clinton. But they're mad at him right now for even bringing up such a thing. But here's the reality. I mean, I guess they're going to be mad at the CBO too. The CBO is saying it. Look, we are going to grow our joblessness under this plan. And why is that? Well, you know what? It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure this out, but I'll walk you through it. If somebody, a small business owner, has to pay $15 for minimum wage, then guess what? They're not going to hire as many people. Not only that, it's going to be worse than that. And actually, the Wall Street Journal had a really good op-ed by a local pizza shop owner that's frequented by none other than Joe Biden this week, in which she talked about how they can't afford it, right? They can't afford it, and that they expect that their employees will make most of their money on tips, and they do. But they can't swing the $15 an hour, especially at a time like this when people and businesses are struggling so much. So why are we putting in place policies that are actually going to hurt us? I mean, I hope somebody raises their hand. I'm looking around going, where the heck is the Tea Party, right? Where are all the fiscal conservatives? They've like left. They've left the building seemingly for good. And, you know, part of that was during the Trump administration. You saw this willingness by a lot of Republicans to go along with the $2,000 stimulus checks. Granted, it was a little bit of a different time, right? A different time because people were hurting so bad. But you know what? We're getting better, guys. I mean, did you see we actually added jobs in the latest month? You wouldn't know it listening to Biden, right? Because he was all Debbie Downer on the whole jobs report. But the truth is we're climbing our way out of this thing slowly but surely. So the more aid that you provide, well, the more you actually run the risk that people aren't going to go back to work. Why? Why? Because it's a whole freeloader effect, right? That they talk about in economics. If you can earn $300 a week or $400 a week, courtesy of the federal government, plus another couple hundred bucks, courtesy of your state, then why bother going back to work? Even for minimum wage of $15 an hour, which these small business owners can't afford. You know, the Biden administration is tying themselves in knots. I always say it's not that hard. It's actually pretty simple. If you want a prosperous economy, cut taxes, lower regulations, sit back and watch it all happen. Okay, but these guys, they're trying to, you know, reinvent the wheel here. So they're going to keep doing this and they're going to keep sinking us further and further into debt. They don't care. Why? It doesn't matter, right? They're politicians. It's all about what can we hand out to keep people happy enough today so that they will vote for us tomorrow. Anyway, don't take my word for it. Go read the CBO report. They are projecting that if we follow this, we will lose 1.4 million jobs, joblessness to increase by 1.4 million jobs by 2025, budget deficits of $54 billion. I'm telling you right now, this is a job killer, plain and simple. Make sure you go to TrishaIntel.com where you can get truth. You can get what's real. You can learn what's going to matter to you and your economy going forward. So sign up for my emails at TrishaIntel.com. Make sure you download and subscribe to this podcast. Like the video, like the channel, and I'll see you back here tomorrow.